We're broadcasting still from the Muser's bunker, and we've had a few issues here in the bunker. So we placed a call back to our office, and we invited our guy that we've known for a long time who says that he is in charge of fixing things around the building, Clarence Murphy, into the bunker. I don't know if this is the best idea, but let's open the door and welcome our maintenance man, Clarence Murphy, into the bunker.
Yay! Look at that. It's my old friends, George and Craig. Yeah. How you guys doing?
Hey, Clarence. Okay. How are you?
I understand you guys are getting knocked off the air or something.
Yeah, that's happened. It's tripping us up. Think you can fix that?
Yeah, let me look over your equipment here.
Are you qualified?
Well, let's see. Well, it's probably the solenoid inside the housing here that looks like it may be rubbing up against the capacitor, and that's probably causing a line voltage drop. So
okay. That sounds official.
I'll tell you what, I could probably crimp a pigtail so it will load share and decrease the ohms so we can get these specs within tolerance again. So,
wow, okay.
See what I can do
that
here.
Sounds like I'm feeling a lot better now.
While I'm working on this, did I ever tell you all about the time when I first met Mike Ducey?
No. I don't think I've heard that story.
Using a hammer?
Yeah, Yeah, just banging on the side of it there. I first met Mike outside a charity event that he was emceeing, and I was working out behind the venue, running some coax and shoring up the escutcheons, and Mike would come out back for a smoke break, so we'd get to talking, and he was all nervous and sweating, and in between cigarettes, he was riffing on Joe Biden being part of the Illuminati. And,
hey, be easy with that.
And
that's
how chemtrails are making our women gay. And I was just kind of half listening to him while I'm, introducing the wire lube into the conduit and prepping my fish tape. But Ducey's getting more animated, and our moments together found him vacillating wildly between sweating laughter and prolonged periods of deep sobbing.
What a weird exchange.
We have seen Ducey do that before.
And I'm getting worried because it seems like it's time for him to get back on stage, and he's already burned through half a pack of smokes while talking to me. And I say, Mike, isn't it about time you put your pants back on and get back out there on stage and talk to these people about that charity? And he turns to me and he says, Clarence F. Charity.
Wow.
I don't believe in any charity except this one. And then he emphasized his point with a few well-timed violent pelvic thrusts.
Said all that?
Mike Ducey said that.
Sure enough. And so he says, let's get out of here before my family comes looking for me. So I'm like, George, can you hand me that crescent wrench right over there?
Hang on, here
we go. See if I can get that thing here real flush. Anyway, so Ducey and I climb into his Hellcat, and it's full of, fast food wrappers and unused condoms. And he's blaring Whitesnake, and he's singing at the top of his lungs. I mean, he's singing so loud, and while he's trying to roll a PCP-laced cigarette, too. So, I'm getting nervous. This guy's driving crazy. Wow. The strange thing is, he's not even singing the Whitesnake song on the stereo, but he's singing Beyond the Sea by Bobby Darin. Well, here we go again on our own playing. That's the craziest thing ever since.
I think you're damaging that.
I said, Ducey, where are we going? George, could you hear me? That solves all.
All right. Hang
on. And so I say, Ducey, where are we going? He says, Clarence, listen, have you ever been with a man and a woman at the same time? Before I could tell him yes, he swerves so he can hit an old woman in a wheelchair in front of a discount clothing store. So after he finishes laughing, he notices that, notices me staring at him in appalled disbelief, and he says, what's the matter? You never seen someone making the world a better place? And so I don't know what to say to that and everything, so I go quiet again. Anyway, fast forward to after the Coke Field orgy and the hosing off behind the La Quinta.
Oh, my God.
Ducey and I are pounding on Dale Hansen's door at 3:20 in the morning for Ducey to, quote, settle this thing once and for all, end quote. And I tell Ducey, listen, man, I got to go. I got to get some sleep. Well, he doesn't take that well. In fact, he turned the gun from his own head towards mine at that point.
I start running.
I jump in his car, and I drive back to Dallas, and I ditch it in White Rock Lake before walking back to my assisted living home at sunup. Well, the cops found the car a few days later. It had been stolen off a lot in the HEB area about 3 days before Deucey's charity event. Anyway, looks like I got it fixed here. You guys ought to stay on the air for a few more days now.
Why'd you have to cut through the desk like that?
You guys have some happy broadcasting. Do me a favor. Don't mention I told that story to you.
Okay, we won't mention it ever again.
Everything. He didn't want his family to know anything about it.
By the way, Is your health okay?
Yeah, my health's fine.
You're staying safe.
Yeah, my prostate's falling out.
Falling out?
Yeah, I have to keep tucking it back up in my anus.
That's an odd problem.
All right, see you guys later.
All right, there goes Clarence, the maintenance man.
Guess he fixed it.
Yeah. Jerry, are we still on the air? Okay, maybe it worked. Clarence knows what he's doing when it comes to audio equipment.